Well, I guess this was prophecy today because my title is Navigating Through the Storms of Life. And here we have a little storm that took place overnight, but not enough to stop us today. So I'm glad that you're here with us. We're going to be talking about navigating through the storms of life. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible or whatever media device that you have and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. We'll be looking at verses 18 to 31. Let me state off, first of all, because it ties into our message, that many of you know that I'm a Vietnam vet. And I might have told this story to you before, I'm not really sure, but I was a point man of Vietnam. And when I first got into country, it was very scary. And I remember a veteran called me over, and he sat me down, and he had a piece of paper. And on this paper, he wrote this. He put a little circle on one side, and he says, "This is where you are in Vietnam." And then he drew a line across there and put another little circle on the other side and said, "This is the United States, where you'd like to go and where you'd like to get back to." And he said, "It's 10,000 miles between the two, from Vietnam to the United States, and this is what you need to do in order to survive." You see, he was a veteran. He had been there for about 5 months or so, and he was trying to explain to me what you need to do to survive. Now, there is no guarantee. I mean, anything could have happened, but the odds were in my favor if I listened to what he said. And so I listened. And so he wrote down all the things that I needed to know to get home to the United States. And I followed many of the things that he said. And as a result, I got home safely. Today we're going to look in the book of Acts, chapter 27, as I said. And here we see the Apostle Paul. He's with a sailing crew, and they're taking him to Rome. They're going from Jerusalem. They're going to Jerusalem to Rome. Because he was preaching the gospel, they didn't like that, so he was going on trial there, but he was on a ship, and he was being transferred. As they began their journey, their hope was for a safe passage. Their desire was to go from one country to another without any harm or without any danger. They wanted to go from Jerusalem to Rome, just like I wanted to go from Vietnam to the United States. And I wanted to make it in a safe travel. That's what I wanted. Today we're going to discover how that safe passage is possible through Jesus Christ and through his ability to change lives. Unfortunately, in today's society, that journey is riddled with obstacles. Those of you who are middle-aged or older are very much aware that the world that we grew up in is so much different than the world that we see today. Now there was another school shooting Friday. There was another school shooting in Florida on Wednesday. It was a horrible thing. It was tragic. It was horrendous. However, it was totally expected. Totally expected when you try to live in a world without God and without morals. According to this nonprofit organization who tracked these kinds of things, the nonprofit organization is called Gun Violence Archive. Now listen to this. There were 345 mass shootings in America in 2017. 345 mass shootings in America in 2017. And last Wednesday, school shooting at a high school in Parkland, Florida. Did you know it was the 18th shooting of the year, 2018? We're only 45 days into the year, and we already have 18 school shootings. No, I have to tell you this, it's not because of guns. Not because of guns. It's not because of guns. It's because of the hearts and the souls and the minds of the people behind the guns. You see, this is fueled by sin. It's fueled by evil. And it's fueled by a society who wants to throw God out of our schools, out of our lives, and out of our country. We have a moral breakdown in our society. We don't have a gun problem. We have a moral breakdown in our society. We do not have a gun problem. So we might ask the question then, what does a world without God look like? Well, it looks like mass shootings, doesn't it? All over the place. And it won't stop. It'll get worse. There's increasing poverty and unstable economies, pervasive sexual behavior. All around us, there's physical abuse and child trafficking, increased drug and alcohol abuse. There's unchecked abortions, increasing suicides and homicides. The ever-present threat of terrorism, of course, and nuclear destruction, and there's rotting moral foundations and decay taking place within our country. Dysfunctional homes and violence and broken hearts and broken people. That's what we see in our society. See, we're a far cry from the world painted by Norman Rockwell. Norman Rockwell was a conservative painter and author. And also, we're a far cry from those sitcoms that we used to see, like I Love Lucy, Father Knows Best, and Leave It to Beaver, all of that. Because today, more than half of the marriages in our country, 50% of them ends in divorce. And it's creeping right into our churches today. Now listen to this. This is important for us to understand, okay? Because do you know that fatherless homes, not mental illness, but fatherless homes account for 63% of teen suicides? Fatherless homes. 85% of youth go into detention centers because of fatherless homes. And 90% are runaways because of fatherless homes. It's not about mental illness. It's about moral illness in our country. You see, a Christ-centered life is a vehicle that I believe God wants to use to help promote a safe passage for us and for our children, so that we can have a victorious life here, the abundant life that God called us to, here in this life, and one day when we're in heaven with God as He's leading us in that direction. But our Bible today reminds us that we too, we're navigating through a sea of life with all the turbulence and instability that life has to offer us. And though the waters are uncharted, we're hoping for a safe passage, right? So in the book of Acts, our scriptures tell us that Paul, he was also vulnerable when he ran into a storm at sea. Now look at verse 20. It says, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. So the word was, we're doomed. There is no place to go. There's nothing good that's going to come from this. We're doomed. We're going to die. The ship is going to sink. It's over for us. And Paul was right in the middle of all of that. But Paul, he stands in their midst and he says here, don't worry. don't worry, because God sent an angel to tell me everything is going to be okay. And here is what the angel said in verses 22 to 25. The angel said to Paul this, he said, "But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen, just as he told me.'" Now the crew is listening to all of this, and the crew is saying, "That sounds pretty good. That sounds pretty cool, Paul. You got our attention, Paul. So you know what? I think what we'll do is we'll drop anchor here. We'll drop four anchors and we'll wait for God's direction, because you see, fear has set in. And they're willing to do whatever they have to do to survive. So we said, yeah, we'll listen to you, Paul, and we'll drop the four anchors." So look at verse 29. It says, "Fearing that we'd be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern." That's the back of the boat, of the ship. "And they prayed for daylight." They dropped four anchors. And here is the secret to a safe passage. You want a safe passage in life? Drop anchor. Hebrews 6:19 and 20 says this, "We have this hope as an anchor of the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Now, our anchor is Christ. What it's telling us is that we need to trust in Jesus Christ. We don't trust in the world. We don't trust in the flesh. We don't trust in the devil. We trust in Jesus. We trust in his word. We trust in his power. And we trust in his people. I have 3 points this morning. And the first one is that in light of all the things that I just said to you, we have a problem. We always have a problem. And what is the problem? Is the problem is that God has called us out to live a victorious Christian life. Jesus has said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." But you know something? We always want to put our will over God's will. It's just inside of us. The flesh and the spirit war against one another. And we're always going against what God says to do. So our first problem is we want to put our will over God's will. Now, in order for us, all we have to do to be in line with God is to anchor ourselves to Him. Believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is the way, the truth, and the life. But that can be difficult, because some of you are saying, "That's too tough for me to do. I know what the scriptures say. I know what Jesus says. I know the life that I'm called to. But it's such a difficult thing to do." So, you see, what I do is I got faith and I go to church and I've got my own way of serving God and believing in God and just bowing down and worshiping Him. I've got my own way of doing that. Really? You have your own way of doing that? That's interesting. We want to see things before we act. And here's the problem. Do you know when they set the anchors down? The anchors go under the water, and we can't see them. And we don't like to act on things that we don't see. So the anchors go down into the water, and they're securing the boat, but we can't see them. And believers in Jesus Christ like to act on things that they can see instead of walking by faith. You see, we want to have things that we can see. So here we had a man who was walking on the top of a mountain, and he fell off the cliff. Below was 2,000 feet, but he hung on to a branch. And he's holding on to this branch for dear life. He's getting weak, and he's ready to fall and let go of the branch. But then he cries out, he says, "Is anybody up there? Can you help me?" A voice from heaven comes, it's God. He said, "I can help you. Do you believe?" He said, "Yes, Lord, I do believe. But it's getting very difficult for me to hang on to this branch. What do you want me to do, God?" And God says to him, "Let go of the branch." The guy looks down 2,000 feet. And then he looks back up again. And he says, "Is there anybody else up there?" You see, we often want to take matters into our own hands instead of trusting in God. Why is that? Because we always think that we know better than God, and because things get in the way. God says to do something, but you see, fear and doubt and mistrust always sets in. In verse 30 of our text, listen to this. It says, in an attempt to escape from the ship, the soldiers let down a lifeboat down into the sea. Now listen, notice in the middle of this, they were pretending that they were going to lower some anchors from the bow, from the front of the ship. You see, they put four anchors in the back of the ship, but now they're saying, "Hey, let's put the lifeboat down and let's put them in the front of the ship now." But they were pretending. You see, what they were actually doing is they were wanting to leave. They were saying, "Hey, you know, this stuff, these vision things that you had, that's all good and fine. But we see the wind and we see the storms and the ship is kind of rocking back and forth and all of that stuff. And I know what you said to stay in the ship and all that, but vision and all, we are out of here. We don't believe all that stuff." See, that's what the world does to us. When fear and doubt and all that stuff begins to creep in, we throw God out. You see? Instead of trusting in Him, that's what they were doing here. See, we're out of here. Vision or no vision, we are gone. So we're going to pretend that we're lowering the lifeboat to put some more anchors down, but in actuality, we are leaving the ship. So, in verse 31, Paul said to the man who was in charge, he says, then Paul said to the centurion, he was the commander of the ship, says to the centurion, and he says to all the soldiers there, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. Unless you do it God's way, you will meet with disaster." The centurion listened to Paul. He cut the ropes from the lifeboat in verse 32, and they got back in the ship. I want us to consider our second point here. First point was, we have a problem. You see, we always want to put our will over God's will. Our second point here is this. When you do that, there's always consequences. There's consequences. You're going to reap what you sow. How many in our society today are getting out of their ships? They're getting out of their ships that God says, stay in the ship, follow me. They're leaving God behind and they're hopping into lifeboats supplied to them by the world, the flesh, and the devil to find a safe passage for themselves. And many often do that by turning to drugs, turning to alcohol, gambling, immorality, living together, cheating on their taxes, lying, stealing, and finding any shortcuts they can to get over, whether godly or ungodly, because for many of them, the end justifies the means. So we have consequences. We've got problems because we want to put our will over God's will, and that brings consequences. But we also have, lastly, our third point is we have solutions. What's the solution? Well, it's pretty simple. We stay anchored to Jesus Christ. So whether you're a young person or whether you're an old person, I have to tell you, you will run into the storms of life at one time or another in your life. There'll be all kinds of storms, financial storms, marital storms, physical storms, people storms, storms that cause us to obsess over the past, over the present, or what's going to happen in the future. Paul tells them, though, in spite of all of this, cut that lifeboat loose. The one that you're trying to escape on, cut it loose. Cut the lifeboat loose. You know what that means? It means that we're cutting loose the influence of social media, peer pressures around us, activities that rob you of having precious time with God. Now, you know what? All of these things, in a sense, can be good, right? You know, with your peers and social media and all of that stuff. There's some good things behind that. But you always heard me say, and I've said this several times, that sometimes the good becomes the enemy of the best. You can do a lot of good things, my friends, but are you doing the best things? And many of these things like social media and your peers and all of that can pull you away into a different area altogether. So Paul is saying, cut that lifeboat loose, verse 31. Unless you stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. You will not have a safe passage to your destination. Cut loose all of those things that weaken our walk with Jesus Christ. All of the things that I've mentioned. You see, all of those things that I mentioned, whether it's your peers or social media and all of that, just listen to this. Any strength pushed to an extreme becomes a weakness. So all of the good things that you have, when you push them to an extreme and you don't follow Jesus Christ, becomes a weakness to you. So cut loose. Cut loose those past sins that others have done to you and you have done to other people. Take the time to confess your sins and repent and rest in the grace and mercy of God. We need to stop letting the devil pound us with guilt and with shame and with regrets that just fuel all of those sinful thoughts and behaviors that we have. Stop it. If your ship is not anchored, it remains at the mercy of the water and the wind. And if we're not anchored to Jesus Christ, we too are at the mercy of the harsh elements of life. And you know what the Bible says in Matthew 6, 33, to seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Instead of seeking first God's kingdom and righteousness, we're seeking all these other things around us, and we're wondering why we don't have a safe passage in life. If we do not embrace what we hear here in this church, week after week after week in all of the information that you receive from the Word of God, then I can guarantee you that we will not have a safe passage to your destination. You may make it to your destination, but I will tell you, you'll be broken when you get there. Now here is what I believe we all need in order to have a safe passage through life. You and me need to stay in God's ship and be anchored to Him. Seek first His kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added. That is, we need to live in those spiritual disciplines that God's Word speaks of. What are they? Well, first of all, Jesus. Do you have Jesus in your life? Have you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? Well, some of you have accepted Him as your Savior, so you think that you have this fire insurance, I guess. But what about Lord? Have you bowed to Him as your Lord and Savior? Do you accept Him? Do you trust Him? You see, many people, instead of following Jesus to them is just, they're just sentimental fans of Jesus, not real followers of Jesus, and they're wondering why their lives are crumbling. Instead of being true followers of Jesus Christ, they're merely sentimental fans of Jesus. You want to be anchored to Jesus Christ. You want to be anchored to His Word. You want to read it on a daily basis. And I wonder, some of you might say, yes, I read God's Word on a daily basis. Do you? Do you do these three things? Do you ask, what does it say? What does it mean? And now, what am I supposed to do because I read God's Word? Because if you have the first two and you don't have the last, you'll just leave here a smarter sinner. I've said this before. So what does it say? What does it mean? And now, what am I supposed to do? You need to be anchored to Jesus Christ. You need to be anchored to His Word. You need to be anchored to His church and attend services on a regular basis. And by the way, maybe some of you don't know this, but you need to be serving in the church of God, because God has given you gifts for the common good. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, for the common good, to be able to serve. He's given you gifts and abilities and talents to be able to serve and build up the church. That's what the church is, ecclesia, the called out body of believers. And there's two reasons why we have a church, by the way, and it's for edification. You ought to be built up right now. Why? Just to be fat and feel good? No. So that you can go out and fulfill the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Not just to make you feel good today. You have an obligation to proclaim God's truth outside the walls of this building. Are you doing that? Are you anchored to His church? Are you anchored to His people, ministering to them and let them minister to you? Are you doing that on a regular basis, or just sitting here and soaking up all of the music and the preaching and all of the fellowship? Are you anchored to outreach? We talked about this. Are you thinking about being filled here so you can go out in the world and proclaim the gospel to the people around you? So these are the things that you need to be anchored to. We need to stay anchored to Jesus Christ. And many might say, well, following Jesus Christ, you know, and staying anchored to Him, it's not so easy. It's kind of difficult. So you know what? I've kind of created my own way of doing things. I go to church and I've got my own spirituality. I've got my own religion. I follow Jesus in my own way. Really? Is that what you do? Well, I don't know how that kind of stands up against this verse in Proverbs 14:12, where it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It might seem right to you, but if it's not God's way, the end is death or destruction. Friends, you can't keep one foot in the ship and one foot in the lifeboat. It's not going to work. You can't have one foot in the ship and one foot in the lifeboat and still have a safe passage through life. Paul says in verse 31, get back in the ship. Get back in the ship. Get back in the ship. And we need to stop cutting corners and drop anchors instead. And we need to stay in the ship. Drop anchors stern in the bow. We need to anchor ourselves to Jesus Christ. And let me tell you this, when you're anchored to Jesus, this cannot be an event change. It cannot be an event change. It has to be a lifestyle change. You need to build this into your life on a daily basis, being a consistent follower of Jesus, not just a sentimental fan of Jesus, but a true follower of Jesus Christ. Did you know that an animal, the African impala, can jump 10 feet high and can leap 30 feet long? Did you know that? But you know, when they have this impala in a zoo, in the cage there in the zoo, they can keep him contained by a 3-foot wall. Do you know why? Because the animal will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will land. A 3-foot wall can hold an impala in. He can jump 10 feet and he can leap 30 feet. But a 3-foot wall can hold him in and a zoo. Unlike the impala, faith is the ability to be able to trust what we cannot see. We walk by faith and not by sight. So when we increase our faith, now listen to this, when we increase our faith, there's no flimsy walls that can hold the Christian in. There's no flimsy walls that can entrap us when we're walking by faith in Jesus Christ. There is no fear. There is no doubt. There is no demonic lies that can break us down when we're following Jesus Christ by faith. Why is that? Because Romans 8:37 says we're more than conquerors in Jesus. Amen? Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon can be formed against us that can prosper. Amen? We've got the victory in Jesus Christ. You see, the storms of life have nothing on the one, Jesus Christ, who merely spoke a word and caused the wind and the rain and the waves and the storms to cease. The storms of life are nothing to Jesus Christ. And friends, Jesus lives inside of us. And if he's victorious, we can be victorious as well, because he lives in us. Storms of life have nothing on Jesus Christ. He is the one who lives in us and gives us the victory. He is the one that we need to be anchored to. He is the ship that we need to be in. We need to be anchored to him, and we need to be in the ship that Jesus Christ is in. That is how we get through the storms of life. This is not rocket science. It's about a people submitting to Jesus, not only as Savior, but as Lord as well. Will you do that today? There is no other way. You look into the world, you see all the chaos and the confusion and killing that goes on. Do you want to be a part of the solution or a part of the problem? It's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. Where do you stand? I know when I see things like that, it motivates me to preach even more, motivates me to teach even more. It motivates me to go out into the world and say, here, this is the light. You people are walking in the wrong direction. And it gives me power. And it gives me boldness. Because listen, if you don't come up and give answers to life, somebody else will. And they will give the wrong answers. And then you can curse the television set. You can curse the man who killed all of these people in Parkland, Florida. You can do a lot of cursing, but you're not part of the solution. You have become part of the problem. Bring the good news that we have here today. Tell people that we need to be anchored to the ship. And that ship is Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we just thank you that we serve a God who can help us navigate through the storms of life. There is no storm that's so great that you can't handle. You tell us that we can be more than conquerors in Christ. You say that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Well, Father, help us to live that out today. Let this not be just mere words. Help us to be true followers of Jesus, not just fans of Jesus. I pray that they can leave today with power, in unity, in oneness, in strength, knowing that your grace will be sufficient for them because you give us grace to help in time of need. And we all pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.